We are blessed to be able to be Southerners, to live in the South, and to escape the hectic pace of Northern city living. And I don't say that in a way of trying to put down Northern city living. I have lived in a Northern city. You can have it. I'm thankful to be down here with you guys. But it's a beautiful time to live, a beautiful place to live. We are surrounded by beautiful people who love us and care about us. How more blessed could we ask for? You know, you think about people that all they want is wealth and all they want is riches. All they want is for their own comfort to be able to do what they want, go wherever they want, stay as long as they want, spend and buy whatever they want, and they will be happy. And the reality is those people are some of the saddest people on the planet because they have seen evidence to support the fact you can't buy happiness. And they know that. But many folks don't understand that, and they continue to seek that as their life. I'm just here to tell you today, folks, that we need to get serious about serving the Savior. We need to be seriously serving the Savior. He has given us eternal life. We are among the blessed, the most blessed upon this planet. And we have reason to rejoice. We have reason to hope for heaven as our home because of what Jesus did, but also because we were blessed to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now you heard the reading this morning from Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62. I want you to notice what these guys are saying. One says, "Lord, I'll follow you." And he says, "No conditions about it. I'll do it." And Jesus says, "You better think about it. I don't have a place to lay my head. You still want to follow me?" We don't get an answer for that question. The next guy, he says to a fellow, "Follow me." And he says, "Lord, let me first." Boy, there's your first mistake. Lord, let me first. Let me put something ahead of you. Lord, let me put something ahead of you. And the next guy, he says, "Follow me." And he says, "Lord, I'll follow you, but let me first put something ahead of you. Let me first go bury my father. Or let me first go and bid them farewell at my house. I'm putting them ahead of you." And you can't do that. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He is the creator of the universe. You can't put anything or anyone ahead of Him and be fit to follow Him. We have to make up our minds to seriously serve the Savior. We cannot afford to half-heartedly be Christians. We cannot afford to put that kind of risk on our souls. If we follow Jesus, we need to follow Him full force, full speed ahead. The people had conquered the land of Canaan. And of course they did it by the power of God, by the help of God. But they have conquered the land of Canaan. The promised land is now theirs. God has kept His word to them, even to the very smallest degree. And so in the last chapter of the book of Joshua, we read Joshua's famous challenge to his people. Oh, this is a verse you can quote in your sleep. "Choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua 24, verse 15. Very, very famous verse. One that everybody knows. But I want you to back up one verse. I want to show you something. One verse before that. In verse 14, Joshua gives an admonition. "Now therefore, fear the Lord." Number one. Fear the Lord. Number two. Serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Number three, put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Put away those gods. And number four, serve the Lord. He starts off with fear the Lord and he ends with serve the Lord. We need to seriously serve our Savior. God expects certain attitudes and actions from us. He expects us to obey Him without hesitation. This is one thing that my father instilled in me and my brothers. When he said jump, we said how high. When he said jump, buddy, we jumped. And there was none of this, "I don't want to." And there was none of this count to three. I can promise you that. Not with my daddy. Uh-uh. And I imagine with quite a few of you, not with your daddy either. You don't mess around with an old timer, a fellow from the pioneer days. My daddy was born 100 years too late, Gary. He'd give Jesse James a run for his money. I truly believe that. But I'm going to tell you, folks, God is not one you want to play with. When he tells you to do something, you don't want to hesitate. And you don't want to question him. And you don't want to rebel against him. You don't want to refuse him. When God tells you to do something, you better do it. Trust him and love him enough to do anything, and I mean anything, that he asks of us. That's what we've got to do. Now, there are four passages of Scripture that I want to share with you right now. And then I'm going to send you home. And don't get too excited, but you can get a little, as you see the clock winding down, you can start getting a little thrill, a little excited. All right? Deuteronomy 10, verse 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? So we're going to the Old Testament now to start off this thing. What does God require of you? But to fear the Lord. Oh, this goes right back to what Joshua says, doesn't it? Fear the Lord your God. Walk in all his ways and love him. Serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. Keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you today for your good. For your good. Now, how many of you had mama say to you at one time or another, if you know what's good for you, you will, and then you just fill in the blank. Have you ever had that? Yeah? Yeah, some of you gray-headed people are going that. Some of you dark-headed folk are going, what? If you know what's good for you, you will, and then you just fill in the blank. Well, that's what Moses is saying. If you know what's good for you, you're going to fear the Lord. If you know what's good for you, you're going to walk in all of his ways. You're going to love him. You're going to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. If you know what's good for you, you're going to keep the commandments of the Lord. If you know what's good for you. And if you're not willing to do that, my friend, you just don't know what's good for you. Let's go to a New Testament passage. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1. Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should. Now then, listen carefully. We urge. That's not lighthearted. We urge and exhort that you should abound more and more. Church, I'm going to tell you something. Too many of us are satisfied with what we know and where we are. Too many of us, and I include myself in this, too many of us are satisfied with what we know and where we are. We're satisfied with what we're doing. We're satisfied with our level of service and our level of commitment to the Lord. We're satisfied with it. Well, you know something? That's an easy thing to do. It's so easy to be satisfied, isn't it? I mean, all you got to do to be satisfied is just sit down and just relax. And you can just be satisfied. Have a great big meal at lunch, and you can just be satisfied. Get you a good nap the afternoon, and you can just be satisfied. It's so easy. In fact, it's like doing nothing to be satisfied, but to push yourself to do more and more, to abound more and more, means you got to get out of that satisfaction mentality. You got to get beyond that. You should abound more and more, just as you received from us how you should walk and to please the Lord. My job as a child of God is not to please myself. My job is not to measure myself by myself and say, well, you're further than you were 2 years ago. Well, you know, you're closer to what you ought to be than you were 2 years ago. Well, that's great and fine, but are you pleasing to God? Is God pleased with you? And somebody says, and wisely so, I don't know if God is pleased with me. Very good answer, because you don't know. You don't know. We don't get some sort of, you know, when you work over at a place that the nuclear power plant, there's a badge. There's a badge you wear. And it measures the radiation level in where you are. And if that badge, if the color of that badge changes to a certain color, you're in danger. You got exposed to too much radiation. There's an indicator to tell you, you better get out of there right now. You are in grave danger. And there are all kinds of indicators that we can use. You know, you get your report card and you get an all A's. Well, you know you're passing. If you get all F's, you know you're in for a spanking. Okay? You know, there are indicators that we have in life. But when it comes to knowing if you're pleasing to the Lord, you don't know. You don't know. And I know that creates a little tension. I know that creates a little nervous energy, and we don't like that, and so we want to find some relief from that, and so that's one reason why we are able to compartmentalize our Christianity. Christianity is what you do on Sunday morning from 9:30 to 11:30 or 11:45 or 12 or whatever, and then again at 5 o'clock from 5 to 6, and then on Wednesday night from 7 to 8, and that's your Christianity, and you got it compartmentalized in there, and as long as you show up at those times, you're pleasing to the Lord. It's easy to compartmentalize it like that. I hate to tell you this. Christianity does not wrap up like a Christmas present. You can't tape the edges and make them all nice and clean and pristine and pretty. You can't tie a pretty bow around God's ways and have everything exactly like you want it. It doesn't work like that. There is an unknown factor. There is an uncertainty factor that has to come into our walk with Jesus. Now, folks, I please understand what I'm saying to you this morning. I've had a discussion, and I wish Double L was here this morning, but I've had a discussion with Double L several times, and I know Harold has, and others of you have, over the matter of knowing that you're saved, assurance of salvation, okay? And the confidence that we have that we are saved, that if we died right now, we'd go to heaven. And Double L cautions and says, you can't really know that. And he's speaking from a pragmatic point of view. You can't really know that. Because, I mean, how do you know that you got all your stuff worked out? How do you know you got everything right? And that is true to a point. We depend on the grace of God to go to heaven. Every one of us do. And there's never a time when we have all our religious ducks in a row. There's never a time when we've got all the leaks taped up tight and all the edges smoothed down and everything, a nice tied bow and all, you know, all the tape covering all the wrong. There's never a time when we can be absolutely certain we've done that, because there's a certain amount of uncertainty when it comes to our relationship with God. And that's for our good. That is for our good, not for our harm. You know why? You got to stay alert. How many times did Jesus say, watch? How many times? I challenge you to look it up. How many times did he say, watch? How many times did he say, be alert? Paul says, walk circumspectly, being aware of what's going on around you. When Faye and I were lost in downtown Chicago late one night, on a Sunday night, we were looking around every direction, making sure we could get out of there. We were trying our best to get out of there. We were driving circumspectly, Richard, is what we were doing. Life, there's a certain amount of uncertainty. I'm sorry to say it like that, but I don't know any other way to put it. There's a certain amount of uncertainty about your relationship with God. You know, you can have confidence that God will keep His word, that His grace will do what it's supposed to do. But my part is where the problem is. My part. Now, I'm not going to go to heaven because I'm good. I'm going to get to go to heaven because God's good. But I got to make sure that I stay faithful to God and not sell myself short and not be satisfied and just conclude, hey, everything's okay. I feel okay, so I must be okay with God. My friend, you could be in grave danger right now and not even realize it. If you're not seriously serving the Savior, you could be in serious jeopardy right now. And so Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4:1, finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please the Lord. Not please yourself, please the Lord. How you should walk and please the Lord. Let me jump back to the Old Testament now. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 8. You know this passage too. You know this passage very well. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Now watch verse 7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Don't play head games with God. Don't pretend that you are or try to fool God. You can't do it. And the worst person to fool is not trying to fool God. The worst person to fool is yourself. Because if you fool yourself, then what are you going to do? And you will resist any effort that a person makes to try to get you to see something that you don't want to see if you fool yourself. So he's saying, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. In other words, it'll be good for you. If you know what's good for you, you fear the Lord and depart from evil. You do not be wise in your own eyes, but rather you trust in the Lord. And you do not lean in your own understanding, but rather you acknowledge Him in all your ways. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. You know, back to the original text this morning that Lucas read, he says, first let me do this, first let me do that. And Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. You got to be fully committed to serving God. So we go back to the original passage in Joshua, and I'm going to wrap this up. The original passage in Joshua. Joshua 24, verse 14. Now therefore, number one, fear the Lord. There needs to be, you know, as you read and study the Bible, there should be some verses that scare you. There should be. Because you say, okay, am I doing this or am I not? Am I doing this right? Am I obeying this command that I'm seeing in this verse? There's some verses as we read that should startle us a little bit. That should kind of shake us up a little bit. That should stir us up. Is that not what Peter said? I remind you of these things to stir you up by putting you in remembrance lest you forget. So there's some things that as we read that should startle us just a little bit. That should shake us up some. And then he says, serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Jesus said to the woman at the well, God is seeking those to worship Him. How? In spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. Right attitude, right way. Doctrine, attitude. Spirit and truth. And here we are, he says, in sincerity and in truth. Sincerity would be from your heart. That's your attitude. And truth, according to what God said. It does no good to worship God the way you want to. Don't we know that? In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. We know that. If you don't follow truth and you offer sincere worship to God, it's still not acceptable to God, is it? Just the same as if you offer worship to God in truth, but if it's not from your heart, if you're just going through the motions, bringing in the sheaves and sitting on the premises and... You know, if you're just going through the motions and it's not, you may be teaching truth, you may be practicing truth, you may be right on with the doctrine, but if your heart's not right with God, then that worship is not acceptable to God either, is it? Of course not. Of course not. So what we have to make sure we're doing, brethren, is worshiping the Lord and serving the Lord and living for the Lord in sincerity and in truth from the heart. And from the book. From the heart and from the book. And then, put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. And somebody says, that has no meaning to us. Oh, yes, it does. Do not think that idol worship is dead. It is not. It is alive and well in Tanner, Alabama. Idol worship. It is alive and well. We have false gods. And it's very easy to serve a false god. You know who that god can be? A Wii, a PlayStation, or an Xbox. That god can be a high-definition television or a home network. That god can be what you have in your bank account or what you drive up and down the road. That god can be where you live and what that means. There's so many ways that we can follow false gods. And so we need to make that admonition real to us. That needs to be true to us, that we put away the gods that our fathers served. Put away the gods of materialism and prestige and popularity. Put away the gods of peer pressure and social acceptance. Put away the gods of wealth and prestige. Put away the gods of personal pleasure and entertainment. There's nothing wrong with pleasure and entertainment. There's nothing wrong with wealth. There's nothing wrong with being popular. There's nothing wrong with people liking you. But if that is your purpose in life, if that becomes your god, that becomes a problem. And so he's saying, put away these gods which were served before. And then he says, serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. Seriously. Seriously. Serve the Savior. Hebrews 12 and verse 1, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, talking about the faith's hall of fame from chapter 11. So he says in chapter 12 verse 1, we have all these witnesses, we are surrounded by this, the evidence of these witnesses of faith. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily ensnare us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Seriously, serve the Savior. So I close with James chapter 3, verse 13. And this is from the New American Standard Version. I like the way this says this. Listen, 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 listen. Who among you is wise and understanding? Huh? Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. Show by your good behavior your deeds. You live it and you do it. You live the Christian life and you walk the Christian walk. You talk the Christian talk and you do the Christian deeds. You do good works. You fix food for a funeral. You visit the sick and the dying. You go and honor those that deserve to be honored. You show up. You show up. Not just for Sunday. Not just for Wednesday. You show up. You be there. And this is not talking about just meetings. It's talking about when somebody needs you. Be there. Be there. You serve the Lord by helping your brother and sister get to heaven. You serve the Lord by encouraging those that are not right with God to come home. You show up by teaching someone who does not know the Lord to become a child of God. Show up, brethren. Show up. That's God's plea to us. Seriously, serve the Savior. If you're wise, if you're a person of understanding, then show up. Show up. Seriously serving the Savior. If you're not a Christian, we want to encourage you today to become a child of God. If you believe Jesus is the Son of God, then repent of your sins, confess your faith in Christ to be baptized for the remission of your sins. All will be washed away by the blood of Jesus. That's what you can do. And if you've not done that, you need to do it. And if you're already a child of God, but you've not been faithful to the Lord, come back. Come home. Show up. Step up. Be the man, be the woman that God wants you to be so that one day you can have that confidence that heaven's going to be your home. If there's a way we can help you today, we encourage you to come right now if you need to as we stand and sing.